Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. It's and just to let you know, we actually are both here in the studio.
We both are, yes.
Nobody's on the road.
No cell phones.
No phone connections. No satellite feed.
No time zone changes or differences.
No, we're both just
jet lag.
Right here in beautiful Independence, Ohio.
Hallelujah, brother.
On Sunday night.
Woo-hoo. Woo.
Where else would you rather be? Well, I could think of a handful of places, but it's nice to be here.
Yeah.
And no matter where you are, it's nice to be reading the Word and thinking about it and teaching about it. And
that is true.
Yeah. And boy, are we living in an exciting time.
And, yes, we are.
And we're talking about the most important thing that there really is in life, and that is salvation.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, like Jesus pointed out, if you do all kinds of stuff and gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what good did that do you?
Yeah, it doesn't profit you anything there.
Yeah, and even if you lived to be 150 and you were in charge of the whole world and you died and were lost, you would say, man, that didn't mean anything, because now look where I am.
Exactly.
And it would be much better to be a simple person and not know anything and be saved. Because ultimately, it's a much better situation.
That is very true. That is very true.
Yeah. And we started talking about it last week, and we'll probably go on at least for another couple of shows. But we decided we were going to do kind of a basic message about salvation.
Yes.
Because as we've said many times, and I'm sure that those of you listening have had the experience where you ask somebody, what do you have to do to go to heaven? What do you have to do to be saved? And you get some very standard responses. Be good. Go to church. Don't kill anybody. Mm-hmm. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
Take care of your kids. Do a good job at work. And all those things are admirable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the message of salvation.
True.
And we need to kind of go through this at a basic level because it's so important. And I was reminded of this a couple nights ago when I was teaching at a church, and there were about 40 people there, and I saw a lot of blank faces looking at me as I was talking, and I thought they just were kind of bored. But then as the thing went on, I realized they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And so I'm using, you know, Christianese and Christian terms. And these people are looking at me like, what is he talking about?
Right.
So I had to kind of rewind into a more basic approach. Mm-hmm. Then when you do that, you start to see some eyes twinkling and you start to see people thinking, oh yeah. Okay. Now I get what he's talking about. And we really have to, you know, Jesus always approached people where they were.
Yes.
And we have to keep that in mind when we talk to people.
We really do. I mean, we really do, because if you talk above somebody or you know, you can't take for granted that they're at the same place that they're going to receive the message.
Yes.
For what you've prepared. And, you know, somebody who is really in tune with the Spirit will do that, will mm-hmm. be able to go, I need to back up here, Lord, because
yes.
I don't get a sense that they're responding to what you're, you know, what I'm speaking.
Exactly.
And there are times where you do have to do that. Whether you're speaking the word or whether you're leading praise and worship, there's times where you have to go back.
Sure.
Because, you know, the point of the ministry is to lead them into the encounter with Christ, not to have a great talk
exactly.
or not to play a couple of good songs.
Exactly.
It's to lead them into that encounter with Jesus Christ that their life is going to be changed.
Right.
And
exactly.
They, you know, so yeah, you really do need to, be attentive to the eyes of the people. And if they're glazed over or
yeah.
if they're like beaming with excitement, like, yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah,
yeah.
brother.
Yeah.
Or like, what is he talking about?
What's he talking about?
Yeah.
When do we get out of here? But you know, you can see, you know, it would be like if you went into a fifth grade arithmetic class and started talking about calculus, all these kids would be sitting there looking at you like, and
is that why they weren't understanding?
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, geez.
And, you know, when you approach somebody who's never opened a Bible in their life, mm-hmm, and say, do you remember in John chapter 7 when Jesus said, have you looked that up in your Greek New Testament? You know, they look at you like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So get away from me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's coming to me as we're talking is about when, you know, when Paul's there in Greece and he's talking to them, and he goes to the people and he's looking at all these statues that they have,
yeah,
all these different gods.
Yeah.
And they're talking to him and he says, well, I see that you have, you know, an altar here to the unknown God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he then launches into the message of salvation.
Yeah. Just let me tell you about this unknown God.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that you don't know. And so God can give you wisdom. God can definitely give you wisdom as to what needs to be said, you know, because he knows what the people need to hear.
Exactly.
He knows where their hearts are at. So yeah, it's a very good point.
Yeah. And you approach people where they are. And so we want to kind of go through this in a way that people will understand. And we started with the fall of Adam and Eve, because after all, everything starts in the garden.
Yes.
And, you know, those of you may think, well, that's just a fable. Who knows about that? Whatever. So, number one, it's not a fable. Yeah, Jesus talked about it a lot.
I was going to say, yep.
It's in the scriptures. And when you think about it, something happened there that changed everything.
The course of human history.
Right.
Yeah.
That we are still, however many thousands of years later, or 10,000 years later, whatever it's been, we are still walking around carrying Adam's sin nature with us.
Mm-hmm.
And every day we struggle with it.
Yes.
And as we go through life, there aren't any of us alive at this moment that are walking around without Adam's sin nature.
True.
It's very a constant true. Problem. And Paul points out in Romans, I have this constant struggle. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I keep on doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my head tells me, oh, yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the rest of me says, yeah, you don't want to do that. It's boring.
My flesh tells me something else.
That's right. Why can't you just have fun and be happy and don't hang around with those boring people? Just go out and have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why understanding salvation is so important.
Right.
Because when you try to be good, and let's face it, if everybody could be perfectly good, if everybody could be perfectly righteous, you could be saved by being good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the standard would be perfection over the course of your whole life.
Right.
Which would be not only very difficult to achieve, it would be impossible to achieve.
Right.
If God said to you, if you keep all my laws for 1 week, you'll be saved. You would fail. maybe even a day.
You would fail.
Because either physically or mentally, you would violate the law.
Right. And I think we need to, you know, Jesus says to the Pharisees and to the people that it's not just the actions that you do.
Mm-hmm.
That even if you look with, you know, even if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So that was far beyond what the Pharisees, what the oral tradition was.
Sure.
But because God looks into the heart, God sees the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the sin nature that happened when Adam and Eve reached out and grab that fruit from the tree of knowledge because it was desirable. They wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And they took something that was not theirs, didn't ask for it, and just took it.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought that up last week about how when you take something that's not yours, it's not such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You get in trouble for doing that. You try to take something that's God's without asking them for it, that's really not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about how because of this happening, they had to be covered in animal skins.
Yes.
So now they had never seen anything die. They had never seen anything wither.
Mm-hmm.
But now they did. And it all happened after they disobeyed God and took it upon themselves to take the fruit of that tree and eat it.
Yes.
Because they were tempted into it.
And God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die.
Even if you touch it.
Even if you touch it.
Yeah.
And Satan, in the form of the serpent, says to Eve, oh, come on, did he really say that? She says, yes, he really said that. And then he changed his tactic to, oh, yeah, well, he may have said that, but that's not what he meant.
Exactly.
You're not going to die. And let me tell you why he doesn't want you to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you do it, you're going to be like him. He doesn't want that. So, you know, don't believe in all this nonsense. Just have some fun. Yep. Eat the fruit.
Yep.
And the thing to keep in mind, and you all know the story. I mean, even non-believers, even atheists know that story.
Yeah.
And if you think it's a story, that's fine. Whatever exactly happened, we don't know exactly what happened. But one thing for sure is the law was broken. They had one law to follow. They broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And mankind fell, including us. The intimacy that they had with God on a daily, constant basis was broken. And because of God's holiness and justice, that sin could not be overlooked.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And this is the thing that is very difficult for people to understand in our time, but in any time, is such a seemingly minor thing would lead to all this problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've done way worse stuff than eat something I wasn't supposed to eat.
Right.
I mean, we've all have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a matter of whether it was eating an apple or doing something. The law was broken. And so now there was a price to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, if you do this, you will surely die. So they, of course, didn't understand what that meant. As you just said, Steve, that they had never seen anything die.
Right.
Their bodies were not degenerating like ours are.
Right.
They weren't getting sick. They weren't getting old.
Right.
They were just as strong today as they were however many years ago they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have kept on being like that.
Right.
But now, physically, they've changed. And physically, those things still apply to us. We get old. We get sick. We get diabetes. We get heart disease. We get cancer. We get bald. We get tired. All these things are because of the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if you go to your doctor's office and say, you know, I got all these illnesses because of the fall, he may roll his eyes and laugh at you. But I mean, unless you come to my office, then that's pretty common talk there. But, but he also was saying on a more profound note that they would have spiritual death.
Yes.
That when you violate the law, you have spiritual death.
Right. Well, an interesting point that is there is that Adam and Eve had never experienced death.
Right.
So would they really understand, even if you eat it, lest even if you touch it, you will die? Could they understand what death was?
Probably not.
Probably didn't have any concept of it. No. Didn't have any understanding of what they were going to do. And isn't that true in our lives where we don't really have some understanding of what we're entering into, and we get into a situation where we go, wow.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. How did I get here? We underestimate what we're getting into. We think that we know, you know, more than we actually do. And that's pride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like all of us guys, you know, who don't want to ask for directions when you're driving. I know where I'm at. I'm not lost.
I remember this. This looks familiar.
This looks familiar. No, it doesn't. We've never passed this way before. You're lost. So,
or we're going around in circles. One of the two.
It looks familiar. Because, yeah, we just went around the block. But back to my point. But in our culture today, we know what death is because we experience it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So to not experience it would be the complete opposite for us. You know, can we imagine not dying? Can we imagine trees, you know, a leaf never falling off a tree because it never decays?
Or never seeing a dead animal.
Right. I mean, it's something that, and so we're so immersed into the sin problem because this is the world that we live in because of what Adam and Eve did,
mm-hmm.
that this is the result of it, that this is our normal, if you will. You know, this is what we see every day.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam and Eve wouldn't have seen that. They didn't understand. They probably didn't understand what death was, you know, because they had never seen anything die.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the point that I'm getting at is that this gift of salvation that God has offered and this plan that he establishes right there in the garden, he's not caught off guard and goes, oh man, what am I going to do now?
Can't believe they did that.
You guys ruined everything. You know, now I got to rethink this whole thing. No, God establishes a plan right there
mm-hmm.
and says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman.
Yes.
Between her seed and your seed, between her offspring and your offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to crush your head. You might strike at her heel, but you know, your head's going to be crushed. And Jesus is the one that crushes the head of the serpent.
Right. And this is in Genesis 3:15 that he's talking about, and you can read it over. It's a very important verse. It's really the first proclamation of the gospel, as we said last week.
Mm-hmm.
There it is in the very first book of the Bible. The third chapter of the very first book, God is proclaiming that now he, God, is going to do something to fix this problem.
Yeah.
Because Adam and Eve are not capable of fixing this problem.
No.
And Adam and Eve are not going to be able to change the course of their life.
Right.
They've each been cursed. The earth has been cursed. Everything has basically been cursed. So Adam has to now set his alarm clock, go to work. He has to make things grow. He has to pull the weeds.
You have to pay taxes.
You got to pay taxes.
See what he started?
Yeah. Somebody from the IRS could be sending them. Oh, wait a minute. No. they were still the only two people.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but they went from having all these things provided to by the sweat of his brow, they had to get their bread.
Yeah, they're going to work for it.
Things have changed.
Dramatically.
There's going to be weeds that come up along with the food.
Mm-hmm.
And the weeds will choke off the food and you won't have any food.
Yeah.
So therefore, you got to work to keep your crops going.
Yeah.
You have to find animals to hunt. You have to find fruit on your own. It doesn't just show up in front of you like it did in the garden.
Right. And I was going to say, even the clothes they were wearing, God made those clothes for them. God made those animal skins for them.
And that's an important point.
Because they didn't go out there and say, okay, I got to go kill an animal now because we need to cover ourselves mm-hmm. with something because we need to wear something.
Yeah, so, I think it's important. That's an important point that God came down and said, Adam, where are you? And we covered this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Did it slip God's mind where Adam was? He couldn't find him because of all the trees and the bushes and stuff, you know. But he came in, just basically said, Adam, what are you doing in your sin now? Where are you?
Yeah.
And so Adam says, here I am. But, oh, now I hear Paul Wilbur singing. We have to take a break. Remember, check out givethegraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name.
Receive grace. Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's a great song.
Yes, it is.
And the concept of the name, the great name, and it kind of encompasses all of God's nature in it, you know, his name with a capital N. And it's because of this that Adam and Eve were excluded from the intimate relationship they had with him before. And it's because of this, as I'm going to get to at least briefly, why the things that happened in the Torah to the people in the first five books all have to do because of their different relationship that they had now with God compared to what Adam and Eve had.
Right.
And when God said, "You will surely die," they didn't die immediately. In fact, they lived quite a bit longer physically. Hopefully they're in heaven, and I don't know. I always assumed they were, but I you know, that's not my job to determine that. But
that is true.
But I'm hoping to meet up with them, even though they're in the witness protection program, because everybody wants to find them.
Oh, geez.
Say, what were you guys thinking? But anyway.
The same thing you were thinking.
But anyway, interestingly, they were covered with animal skins. So because of their sin, there was the first instance of death.
Yes.
One or two animals were killed, let's say two, so that they could be covered, so that their transgression could be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was covered because two animals had to die. Blood was shed to cover their transgression.
Mm-hmm.
And covered their shame, literally. Because their shame was, well, we didn't want to come out because we were naked. And right. They never realized they were naked before, nor did they care.
Right.
But now, you know, they are now exposed in a very real sense, mm-hmm. in a way that they weren't before.
Right.
And so a sacrifice is made to cover them.
Yeah.
And this is kind of another... It's not long after Genesis 3:15, but this is another foreshadowing of the gospel that somebody or something dies because of sin. Blood is shed because of sin, mm-hmm. so that you or somebody, everyone, whoever turns, can be covered.
Yeah.
And this is the concept of the blood atonement that I'm sure, hopefully, you're mind is fast-forwarding to the cross,
mm-hmm.
to when the blood of Jesus atones for your sin, for my sin, for everybody's sin who accepts that.
Right.
If somebody rejects that, that's not going to help them.
Right.
The blood atonement is available to everyone, mm-hmm. obviously, but not everyone accepts it.
Exactly.
But the important thing is that there was death because of sin, and there was a bloodshed because of sin, mm-hmm. and Adam and Eve were covered by something that they didn't really have any say over. God covered them.
Right.
And he provided a sacrifice. He provided the skins.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, the first Exodus, where God provides a means of escape for the people out of Egypt.
Yes.
A means of deliverance from that, from the bondage or the slavery that they were in, and how the doorposts were covered with that blood of that animal, of that lamb that was sacrificed, that was slain. And they had to roast its flesh. Mm-hmm. They had to eat it and cover the doorposts with its blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the angel of death came and when God executed judgment on the land of Egypt, on the firstborn of man and beast alike, those who weren't covered with that blood were slain.
Mm-hmm.
Those who were covered with the blood were safe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then, you know, you look to the cross, because Jesus is the lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. And his blood covers us. His blood is shed. His blood is covers us. And he, you know, he was slain for our transgression.
Mm-hmm.
So just like that, that first animal that was, you know, that was in the garden, that was taken so that Adam and Eve can be covered with its skin, you know, Jesus atones for our sins. And he, and we're covered in his blood, that we can now have that right relationship restored back to the Father.
Yes. And this is the basis of salvation.
Yeah.
If you haven't thought about this, if you haven't thought about what Steve just said, this is the basis of salvation. You're not going to earn it on your own. You're not going to be good enough to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do enough things. You're not going to say enough prayers. You're not going to, you know, help enough poor people. You should do those things.
Right.
But you're never going to do enough that God is going to say, well, no, look at what he, look at all the stuff he's done.
I got to let him in.
I have to let him in now. I mean, he did some bad stuff, but look at all the good stuff he did.
Yeah.
But what Steve just said is the basis. It's blood atonement. And it goes back to the Torah. I know most of you probably did take my Torah class. But if you go to the website, you can find the notes. Someday we'll record it maybe. But when God set up his tent, his tabernacle in the wilderness, remember, there was the Ark of the Covenant where the glory cloud rested. The Shekinah glory rested on the cloud. There was a veil of separation between that, the very presence of God, and the people.
Right.
The people could not approach. The high priest could go once a year because the people were sinners. They could not approach the holy thing.
Right. Now think about that.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve could approach God.
They, yeah.
They
unlimited
they fellowship. Fellowshiped with him.
Yep.
He talked with them in the cool of the evening, it says.
Yep.
So they saw him.
They hung around together.
Yep.
He'd come down and say, so you guys, what's happening? What'd you guys do today?
Yeah, just, you know.
Did you have enough to eat?
Yeah. No, we really weren't hungry. These plants are pretty cool.
Are you done naming the animals yet?
Got a couple more to go.
Yeah.
So but, now.
Yeah.
They're separated. They can't see.
That's right. They're not allowed to see the presence.
Yeah.
There's a physical barrier. And the whole point, and we don't have time to do that now, but, you know, maybe we'll do it some other time. Each of the things that were in that tabernacle were symbolic of this.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have a separation between God and the people. You had to have an altar where blood had to be shed.
Yeah.
You had to have blood sprinkled on the mercy seat to atone for sin. When you did transgress the law, an animal had to die in your place so that that sin could be atoned for, could be covered. And all these things were types and shadows. Most of these things were about lambs, although there were, of course, a lot of other animals involved. But there was a separation.
Yeah.
And it had to be done over and over again, because you violated the law over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were lambs sacrificed for the sins of the people.
Yeah.
There was an ongoing sacrifice in the morning and in the evening. You can see through the Old Testament. At the time of the evening sacrifice, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Time of the morning sacrifice, this happened. because there were these continuous things going on to atone for the sins of the people, and it was all by blood.
Yeah.
And all those Levitical priests who had these really beautiful vestments, and they had all these beautiful artifacts and furniture and thing, just had this constant shedding of blood. And if you read through Leviticus and you don't know Jesus, you don't understand sacrifice and atonement, it's actually either disgusting or boring.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you take this animal and you cut its throat, and then you take this part and you roast it over the fire, you throw this part away, the priest can eat this part, but not this. Who cares about all this stuff? I mean, it sounds pretty gory. It sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
But the point of that is that sin is gory and disgusting.
Yep.
Sin is a horrible thing. Yeah. It breaks your fellowship with God.
Yes.
And it does it such that, as Adam and Eve found out, you can't just remedy it by saying, oh, well, I did it, but so big deal. Let's just forget about it.
Yeah.
And so all these things are pointing to the cross, and all these things are pointing to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't thought about these things and you're living sort of the normal life of going to work, going home, going out, doing the thing, never thinking about the fact that you're a sinner, never thinking about the fact that you've violated the law,
mm-hmm.
you're not covered by that blood.
Right.
Because you don't approach, you don't ask. You don't go looking for the forgiveness.
Right. Yeah, you have to approach God. You have to seek him, and you have to find him. And just because God establishes the plan of salvation and Jesus, and he carries it out, you know, it's fulfilled through the blood of the Messiah, through Jesus Christ. Even though all that takes place, it's still something for us to approach God and say, Lord, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
I need the blood of your son. I need to be forgiven of my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a place of coming humbly before God, not a place of being proud or prideful and saying, what do I need this for, Lord? Mm-hmm. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a place of humility, of coming before, you know, really acknowledging your own need for a Savior,
mm-hmm.
for salvation. And, you know, I know we mentioned the parable of the prodigal son just briefly last week, but that image just, you know, keeps coming back to me about how the father in that parable watches and mm-hmm. waits and looks
mm-hmm.
day after day after he sends his son off to go and squander his inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
He watches and waits and looks. And as soon as he catches a glimpse of him off in the distance, he's not standing there going, oh, here he comes.
Mm-hmm. Now he's going to learn his lesson.
Now he's, I hope you've learned your lesson, son. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He runs out to meet him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this parable is such a contrast in the time of Jesus, because that son, it was even more than just disrespectful to his father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He would be disowned.
Mm-hmm.
He would be cut off from the family. You know, a child didn't do that. If they mm-hmm. did, they were, you know, they were cut off. But Jesus tells him this parable, and the mercy of God is so great that God doesn't just stay there and wait for us to come all the way back. As soon as we turn, he's there.
Yeah.
To meet us.
Yes. Yes. And you have an infinite ocean of mercy, an infinite ocean of grace that's just waiting for you.
Yeah.
Because the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has infinite merit.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, it's not limited. It's not, he did this, and like we always say, if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, you see what happened
mm-hmm.
in a very real, very brutal way.
Right.
And this is not to say that, well, that was enough of a work to, say, save 1,200,018 people.
Right.
Or, you know, 1.5 billion people could be saved by that. But then above that, you know, it would be exhausted.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have a limit.
Right. It's not some perishable,
right.
finite resource.
Right. Like Peter points out, we've been bought with a price.
Yeah.
We weren't bought with silver and gold. Now, if you had to pay your way, if you had to pay your way out of sin with silver and gold, there's not enough silver and gold in the world
nope.
to even save a few people, whatever price you'd put on it. But this is a sacrifice of infinite value, of infinite power,
yeah.
because of the blood.
Yeah.
The blood, the writer to the Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't really take away sin. But the blood of Jesus has infinite power to take away sin. There is no one who's beyond salvation if they turn to that. And this is why it's such a powerful statement that when John the Baptist sees Jesus on the other side of the river, he literally points to him and says to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the sins of the world, not the sins of that many people.
Yeah.
But all the sins of the world could be taken away by that sacrifice. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ, even if you watched it as a non-believer or an atheist or an agnostic, and you just watched it out of curiosity, and you saw this horrible, brutal execution go on, this horrible, brutal suffering, you have to ask yourself, if people could be saved by being good, or if people could be saved in any number of other pathways, why would he have gone through this horrible, horrible death? It wasn't like getting a lethal injection of something
mm-hmm.
and dying within a few seconds or a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This was brutal physical death
yeah.
that involved blood.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a torture. He was tortured, as being placed on the cross. As you said, it wasn't something that just happened, you know, within a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, you know, you've beat somebody and left them there to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is. And the, you know, if there was a different way to do it, I'm sure God would have done it.
Yes.
But it makes, you know, it makes people uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable to talk about it because it is such a horrifying death.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a, you know, it's unspeakable. I don't know, it's unspeakable, but
horrible.
It's horrible. You know, you couldn't watch something like that without being moved or doing something to stop it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and, so the price that we've been bought at, as you were saying, is the price of the blood of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who laid his life down
mm-hmm.
willingly.
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 We could have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Jesus say that? Is because it's out of love.
Yes. Exactly.
No one's forcing him to do this.
That's right. It's willingly. And, you know, we did a couple shows or a few shows on God's love. This, like we said last week, this is the ultimate example of God's love.
Yeah.
Or else there is no way to salvation.
Right.
There is no way of earning it. Adam could not earn his salvation back.
Right.
Oh, it's a break already. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, the Creator. mention of your name, King of Majesty.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Wow, that's an awesome song.
That's another awesome song.
The Great I Am.
The Great I Am, which is God's name.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a whole nother show.
That could be.
That could be a whole nother show.
Maybe two.
Yeah, maybe
three. Probably three.
And, I think that before the break we were talking about He willingly lays down his life for the sheep, it says in John chapter 10.
Yes.
He says, I have the power to lay it down, the power to take it up again. Mm-hmm. And after a whole series of books of the Bible explaining blood sacrifice, these are all prefigurements, types, and shadows. You know, the book of Hebrews says these are types and shadows, and he's the substance.
Yes.
So all these things were pointing to the cross. All these things were pointing to blood being the way that sin is atoned for, because when you sin, you have to die. But now here is a way that something or someone dies in your place. And the prefigurement of that points to the cross. Jesus says Satan was a liar. You know, he was a murderer, a deceiver, a liar. And he was that way from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He deceived Eve. And lest you think that you're not deceived, he uses the same strategy.
Yeah.
And he's used the same strategy since Adam and Eve because it works.
Exactly. It works.
And he knows about our pride. He knows how we think. He knows what we're vulnerable to. And that's the strategy. And so the plan of salvation has to involve Satan having his head crushed. And, you know, Paul writes that Jesus made a public spectacle of Satan's destruction on the cross. Mm-hmm. Because here you have this seemingly defeated man on a cross, dying, then actually dead on the cross. It looks like he was the failure. It looks like he was the one who didn't live up to what he was supposed to do. Because after all, look at, they arrested him, they tortured him, and he's dead.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like success to anybody else.
No. No, in the eyes of the world, that was failure.
Yeah.
It was weakness. It wasn't power. It wasn't strength. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, when Paul's talking about how, yeah, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't want, and I'm not doing yeah. the things I really want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Who can save me from this?
Yes.
Except the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, God says, my grace is enough for you. And Paul says, it's in my weakness that power reaches perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really God's power. It's really God. You know, we have to rely on God in those moments. And, you know, as Paul talks about that, about, you know, doing the things he doesn't want to do and, or don't, not doing the things that he does want to do, every one of us has those areas mm-hmm. that we struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to turn to God. And, you know, Paul gives a great example there because he's really being honest. Here he is. He's chosen as the apostle to the Gentiles. He's persecuting Christians. He's persecuting the early believers.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of that, God chooses him as the vessel.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. And so, and that's not to say that Paul's going to carry on in a sin. He doesn't want to because
mm-hmm.
he knows it separates him mm-hmm. from God.
Mm-hmm.
But he understands the power of the cross.
Yeah.
And that's why he preaches. I only want to know Christ and him crucified because anything else is rubbish.
Exactly. Everything I knew before, everything I thought was important is rubbish compared to knowing this.
Yeah.
And when he, you know, you bring up a great point because when he was there, when Stephen was being stoned, not you, but the other one.
No.
When Stephen was being martyred.
Boy, am I glad.
Paul was standing there probably very satisfied.
Oh, yeah.
Holding people's cloaks, thinking, we'll take care of this.
Yeah.
And little did he know what was going to happen to him a short time later.
We'll stuff this out right now, put yes. an end to it, and there'll be no more yes. of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you read, and this is why I love the book of Romans so much. I think it's my favorite book. Or it might be.
I thought Hebrews was.
Oh, yeah, Hebrews is my favorite book.
Sure it's not.
But Romans certainly would be in the top five.
Sure it's not Numbers?
Maybe Numbers is good too. Okay, so Romans is in the top five. But when you read through Romans, you see how Paul has changed because of this.
Yeah.
From law to grace, he becomes not only the apostle to the Gentiles, but the apostle of grace.
Yeah.
Because he was the law guy.
Yeah. And I mean, he says all of this is rubbish. Now, he doesn't mean that it's been totally useless or that it's been totally like, I don't want to say. He's not saying it was bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, you know, the blood atonement is what saves us.
Yeah.
And receiving that gift of grace.
Ooh.
That should be a radio station show.
Be.
Yeah. The gift of grace. That is what saves us is that gift of God's grace.
Yeah. He said, what you quoted is actually from the very end of Romans chapter 7, where he says, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this?
Yeah.
Because he realizes what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do good things, but I don't do them.
Right.
Our show's over. I'm still talking.
I know.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the power of God's Spirit would rest upon you and bring you to that gift of salvation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.